Good morning. My name is Jeremy Lind. I'm the pastor here at Cornerstone in my second week. So that's pretty exciting. And thank you. It's a great accomplishment to be in your second week. I appreciate that. And coincidentally, that means we're in the second week of our sermon series called Defeating the Darkness. And we're reading through the Gospel of Luke to find out how Jesus Christ is the light of the world and how God has defeated the darkness of this world, the darkness in our hearts through Jesus Christ. And so we'll be reading from the book of Luke today if you want to open up your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we have a table full of Bibles back there. You're free to grab one for today if you need to stand up and get one, and take one home if you need that. And so last week was our Christmas message. It was the first message in this series called Defeating the Darkness. And we talked about how Jesus Christ is God's plan to come to earth to defeat the darkness of this world. And we talked about how the darkness has always been present with us. From the time that the first humans rebelled against God, the darkness has been in this world. And from that time, God has always had a plan. And his plan has been to come in person, in the flesh, and to defeat the darkness of this world. And then last week, we read the book of Luke, chapter 1, and we talked about how Luke is connecting Jesus Christ to God's plan. He's making it clear that Jesus is God come in the flesh to defeat the darkness of this world. The darkness which has hurt us all, and the darkness which, unfortunately, we have all contributed to in making choices that have hurt ourselves and hurt others and rebelled against God. Jesus Christ has come to free us from that and defeat that darkness. And we read in chapter 1, verse 77, how Jesus is God's sunrise. He's like the sun rising on the earth, on this dark earth, to remove the darkness. This is that Jesus is the dawn from on high, come to give light to those who stand in darkness and sit in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And we read in verse 76 that Jesus is offering salvation through the forgiveness of sins. He's come to save us, to save us from the darkness, through the forgiveness of our own sins. And that's the amazing thing about Christianity. It doesn't ignore the darkness no matter where it is. And that's the great thing about it. Jesus has come to defeat the darkness that's out there in the world. And he's also come to defeat the darkness here in our hearts as well. That's why he's offering us the forgiveness of sins and salvation. Christianity is awesome because it doesn't ignore the darkness in any of its forms. But God has come to defeat it all and remove it all. That's the awesome thing about Christianity. Another great thing about Christianity, I'm not sure if the PowerPoint can get up there, but the other great thing about Christianity is it's not just a great religion because it defeats the whole darkness of all of the world, but Christianity is awesome because it's a religion of great humility. And we believe that this God who's all-powerful, who's all-good, who's all-knowing, who's just and perfect and loving, that this God who's created the heaven and earth humbled himself and came down to earth as a human baby, a human being. And this great God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, who's got all power and authority, humbled himself to take the insults and the violence and the darkness of humanity. And in doing so, he exposed our problem. Our problem is that we have an alliance with the darkness. We listen to the darkness over God. And this God who's so humble and so powerful, we believe that he is present with us today as we worship him through the power of his Holy Spirit. And just as God has humbled himself by coming to earth and taking our darkness, we believe that God is asking us to humble ourselves as well. God is asking us to recognize that we have a problem. And our problem is that we listen to the darkness. We have an alliance with the darkness. And that's something that we're not very good at, is humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves and recognizing that we've got problems and then apologizing for those problems. That's not a gift that really comes naturally to most of us in our skill set. And I'm right there. I have a real hard time recognizing my problems and apologizing for them. One time when I was a kid, we're having a holiday gathering, and there's all these, you know, people over, all this family over, and we're trying to cram everybody around this little kitchen table. And I had a metal folding chair because we couldn't fit any of everybody around the table. And so we're grabbing metal folding chairs and putting people in wherever we can fit them. And so I grab my metal folding chair and I hold it up high so as not to hit anybody, who's sitting down. And I spin around and wham! I nail my sister right in the forehead with this metal folding chair. And she starts crying, yelling, and everybody starts, you know, making a big ruckus. And so I drop the chair and I run out of the room and I run into, the next room and everybody's yelling. My mom comes in. She says, "Jeremy, you need to go apologize." Through the miracle of technology, we were able to capture that moment. So my mom says, "Jeremy, you're going to need to go apologize." And I said, "Mom, I really don't feel like I need to take responsibility for this one." And the fact was that somebody was hurt and somebody was crying all in the other room, but I felt no desire to go apologize. It wasn't my fault. I got reasons. I got excuses. But my mom made me go apologize. So she marches me back in the other room. My arms are folded and my head is down. And it looks like to my family that my sister's going to get a reluctant apology. And as I open my mouth to apologize, I realize the real reason why this all happened. And it's not my fault at all, just as I knew it. And I open my mouth and I point at my sister and I yell, "It's her fault for being in the way." But that didn't go over well. Apologizing is really hard. Recognizing we've got a problem and apologizing is very difficult. And it's not something that we're good at. And I'm amazed at that as adults, we really have not gotten any better at this when it comes to the spiritual consequences of our actions. The more I talk to people, the more I find out that we think we've got nothing to apologize for to God. We've got reasons, we've got excuses. I've talked to so many people who believe that they've just got no way, there's no way that God could judge them for any of their actions. That they haven't really done anything they need to apologize for, anything they need to repent for. And so I say, "Well, are you perfect?" And of course, when you put it that way, then nobody's, wants to say they're perfect. So, no, I'm not perfect. Well, that's the definition of perfect. Having nothing to apologize for is a definition of perfect. And the definition of not being perfect is to have something to apologize for. But it's amazing how we can completely deny the spiritual consequences of our actions and maintain that we have nothing to apologize for. That there's no way God could judge us. Well, sure, we think, I may have, explode on the kids, every once in a while and go off on the family, but God knows. He is not going to judge me for that. I don't have to apologize to God for that, because God knows if the kids would only clean their rooms, I wouldn't be yelling. God knows He's not going to judge me. Or think, boy, I come home and I take all of my frustrations out on my spouse. I'm grumpy. Nobody can stand to be around me, but God's not going to judge me for that, because God knows. He knows it's because my job is hard. I've got reasons. There's no way God can possibly judge me. Nobody's willing to admit that they're perfect, but it's really hard to recognize our mistakes and the spiritual consequences of those and repent. Nobody wants to do that either. And we refuse to recognize our mistakes. We refuse to repent of them. We realize and we show that we've got an alliance with the darkness in our hearts. When we refuse to repent and distance ourselves from those mistakes that we've made, the times we've hurt others, the times we've hurt ourselves, and the times we've rebelled against God, we show that we've got an alliance with the darkness in our hearts. It's like we're harboring a fugitive when we don't repent. We're like harboring darkness in our hearts, like harboring a fugitive in our homes. There's nothing wrong in there. Okay, well, maybe there is something wrong there, but it's not my responsibility. I'm not responsible for that, and I don't need to go get it and turn it out. We harbor darkness in our hearts when we refuse to repent and recognize what we've done. And God is asking us to humble ourselves, to recognize that we have a problem. And the Bible says that having an alliance with the darkness is the default position for every human being. From the time of the first humans who rebelled against God and shows the darkness over God. Every single human has contributed to the darkness in some way. Every single human on earth has made decisions which have hurt themselves, others, and rebelled against God. Romans 3:23 says that, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We've all contributed. The Bible says that we have an alliance with the darkness, and we call this original sin nature. We have an alliance with the darkness as though we can control it. We have an alliance as though we'll take a little bit of it in our lives as long as it doesn't get too bad. We think, yeah, sure, I take a little bit more for myself now and then, but I'm not taking anything big. I'm not hurting anybody. Or think, yeah, I'm lusting after my coworker, but I'm not cheating on anyone. I'm not hurting anyone. And we don't realize that the same darkness that's present in our greed is present in the greed of world rulers and greedy organizations which take other people's possessions and take the freedoms of other people. It's the same darkness. It's the same thing. We don't realize that the darkness that's present when we lust after our coworkers is the same darkness that's present in horrible affairs which ruin lives and rip apart families. It's the same thing. We have an alliance with the darkness as though we can control it. But we can't, and it controls us. And we need to break our alliance with the darkness. The same darkness that's present in violence and corruption and war and rape and murder, we need to break that alliance. I know you don't want that kind of alliance, and I don't either. And Christianity begins with recognizing that we have an alliance with the darkness and repenting of that. Christianity begins with recognizing our alliance with the darkness and breaking that alliance. And how do we break that alliance? Well, we're going to read from Luke chapter 3 about John the Baptist. And John is going to tell us how we break our alliance with the darkness of this world. If you'd like to turn with me to Luke chapter 3, I'll have it up on the screen as well. We're actually going to start in verse 2. It says, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And so John's a big deal. We read last week in chapter 1, verse 66, that from the time John, before even John was born, an angel came and told his father Zechariah about his son. And we saw in verse 66 of chapter 1 that John's a big deal from his birth, and that from his birth people can see that God's hand is upon him. Verse 66 says, that people have come to Zechariah and they're saying, what then will this child be? Because they can see that the hand of the Lord is with him. And Zechariah tells the people about his son. He says that this child will be called a prophet of the Most High. He will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people. And so John's a big deal. He's going to prepare the way of the Lord. He's going to prepare the people for the coming of God. God in the flesh. God come to defeat the darkness of this world. And it says in verse 2 that the word of God has come to John. Now he's going to begin to prepare the people. And what is he going to say? In verse 3, it says he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so John's getting people to repent, to receive forgiveness of their sins. John's preparing the way of the Lord by calling people to repentance. And he's dunking them under the water, and he's bringing them back up as a public display that this person has repented and receive forgiveness. And this is how John is preparing the coming of the Lord. And what is this doing? Well, it says in verse 4 that, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And so by preparing the people in this way, by getting them to repent of their sins, what's John doing? He's making the paths straight. He's filling the valleys. He's making the mountains and the hills low. He's making the crooked straight. He's making the rough places level. He's removing all of the obstacles in people's lives so that they can see the salvation of God. With this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, John is removing the obstacles in people's lives so that they may see the salvation of God. So what are those obstacles? Well, the obstacles are sins. That's what's keeping us from seeing God's salvation. It's our default position. It's our alliance with the darkness. And by removing that, by breaking that alliance, John is opening people's hearts up to be able to see the salvation of God in the way of the Lord. And it's freeing people up to follow Jesus Christ. John's telling us to break our alliance with the darkness through repentance. And in verse 7, it says that he said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So John's a big deal. There's been a big buzz around him from before he was conceived as a child. People were coming up and saying, what is going on with this kid? What's he going to become? They can see that God is moving forward with his plan to defeat the darkness. They can see that God is moving forward with his plan to come in the flesh and defeat the darkness. And they know that John's got something to do with this. And so there's a big buzz, and he's drawing crowds. People are coming out to see him. And John says that they're coming out to see him because they want to flee the wrath to come. We talked a little bit about the wrath of God last week. It's a big concept. There'll be whole sermons on this. But we want a God who has wrath against evil. We want God who has wrath against the darkness. We don't want people to be victimized forever. We want a God who stands with those who are suffering. And so that's what the wrath of God is. It's the wrath of God against darkness. And our default position is that we've got an alliance with the darkness. And these people recognize this, and they come to John, and they see that God's moving forward with his plan to remove the darkness, and they don't want to be on the losing side. They don't want to be standing in front of a God who's going to confront the darkness. They don't want to be in between that. So they're wondering how to break their alliance with that. They're wondering how to come out of the darkness and be in the light for when God comes. So John says to flee the wrath, to break that alliance with the darkness. He says, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. We need a real repentance. And people will be able to see that by the fruit of our lives. When we actually repent, it doesn't mean we become perfect. But it means that we've broken our alliance with the darkness and we're headed towards the light. When we recognize the darkness, we reject it and go towards the light. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It means there's always forgiveness for when we fall. But people will be able to see that in our lives. Our beliefs will lead to actions, to fruit that will actually make a difference in this world. And so John says, repent and make it a real repentance. We need to truly break our alliance with the darkness and not just with lip service. And then he says, do not begin saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. And so what does that mean? Who is Abraham? Well, we talked last week, again, about how darkness has been with us from the beginning, and God has always had a plan to defeat the darkness. And 1,800 years before Jesus Christ came, the first person God let in on this plan was Abraham. Amidst all the violence and corruption of the world, God found a faithful person. That was Abraham. And God explained to Abraham, let him in a little bit on his plan. He said, Abraham, you're going to become a great nation. I'm going to make of you a great nation. You have many offspring. And I'm going to bless them to bless the world. And so God does. He gives Abraham many offspring. He begins blessing them by preparing them for his coming, for his presence on earth. And he begins doing this by teaching these people in this nation who he is and what he is like. So God's preparing people for his presence on earth through the nation of Abraham, blessing Abraham and the world, and the knowledge of God is growing on earth. And by the time that Jesus comes 1,800 years later, the people of Abraham have started to think that they're kind of a big deal. And here John's saying, that's not good enough. You can't convince me that you don't have an alliance with the darkness because of who you are. See, the people of Abraham are just like the people today. We don't feel that. We really want to take responsibility for the spiritual consequences for our actions. We want to be able to dabble in the darkness, but not to admit that we have anything to apologize for. Not to admit that we have got an alliance with the darkness. And John's saying, we've got to recognize this. We've got to humble ourselves. We need to break our alliance with the darkness through a real repentance. But the people, many people today and the people of Abraham, we don't think that it matters if we repent. We don't think it really matters if we apologize and break our alliance with the darkness because we're not really willing to admit and recognize that we have one to begin with. But John says we do have one. John says it does matter. In verse 9 it says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John says it does matter if we have an alliance with the darkness. And those who are unrepentant, those who have not broken their alliance, have to fear the axe falling. Because Jesus Christ has come to defeat the darkness of this world and remove it, wherever it is, in all of its forms. And if we have an alliance with the darkness, when Jesus removes and defeats that darkness, we'll go down with it. And so we need to get on the winning team. We need to defeat the darkness by breaking our alliance to it. And then immediately upon hearing this, it's a hard message. It's a tough message because we don't want to take responsibility for our actions. And we're proud and we don't think that we deserve this kind of treatment. But we need to remember that it's through this process that Jesus Christ is going to stop all of the suffering and all of the pain and all of the evil of this world. It's through this process that Jesus Christ is going to remove the darkness. And while the initial stages are difficult for the proud, the end result is fantastic for everybody. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more evil. There'll be no more darkness. And so we need to repent. We need to break our alliance with that darkness. And again, breaking our alliance with the darkness doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we've just changed direction. When we recognize the darkness, we reject it and we seek the light. We have a God who's offering us forgiveness out of his great love. We are forgiven. All we need to do is recognize it and repent. But recognizing that we have an alliance with the darkness is difficult. It's difficult to humble ourselves. But we can remember God's kindness. It says in Romans that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, God proved his love for us in this, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. God loves us so much that even when we had an alliance with the darkness, even when we were allied with his enemy, even then God loved us so much that he sent his son for us. And this great God who came to earth and humbled himself and put himself in our place and took our violence and our corruption, the God who came to earth to be tortured and crucified by his rebellious creation, is asking us today to recognize that we have an alliance with the darkness and repent of that. From the time the first human beings walked on earth, we chose and listen to the darkness over God. And when God came to earth again to walk among us, elbow to elbow, again, we chose the darkness over God. And we crucified him. We have an alliance with the darkness, and we need to repent and break that alliance. And we need to transfer that alliance to Jesus Christ. We need a new alliance. We need to form one with the God of light, the God who has come, the sunrise from God to shine the light on the darkness of this world. We break our alliance with the darkness through the act of repentance. We need to repent and break that alliance. Christianity is a religion of great humility, and the proud will not join. They will not see God's kingdom. And they will be removed with the darkness. But the humble who recognize our shortcomings and repent of those, the humble who break our alliance, have prepared their hearts for the way of the Lord. And they will see God's salvation. They will see the darkness removed, and they will see the light of God. Let's prepare our hearts for Jesus Christ. Let's reject the darkness and worship a God of light. Let's break our alliance with the darkness by repenting. Let's form a new alliance with the God of light, with Jesus Christ. This is a hard message today, but there's good news. There's good news in that God has done the work for us. There's forgiveness for us. And we'll be continuing to look at how Jesus Christ brings light to the darkness of this world throughout the rest of this sermon series. And if you're interested in worshiping a God of light, if you're interested in breaking that alliance with the darkness, I want to encourage you to come back and continue to hear, continue to walk through the book of Luke with us as we find out how God defeats the darkness of this world and brings good news, brings light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. If you're interested in God bringing light into your life, if you're interested in breaking your alliance with the darkness and forming a new one with Jesus Christ, let's just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you and we praise you for what you've done for us. That while we yet had an alliance with the darkness, while we were allied with your enemies, God, that you loved us so much that you came to earth yourself. That you took our violence and our corruption and our darkness. You took our sins upon us on the cross to provide us with forgiveness, even while we were allied with the darkness. God, I pray that you would bless our hearts. Give us strength to be humble. Give us fragile people strength to look at ourselves and the ways that we've contributed to the darkness. Give us a strength to reject that. Give us the security we need in your forgiveness to reject that darkness, to break that alliance. And God, we seek your way of salvation. We want to see your salvation. We pray that the obstacles would be removed so that we can see your salvation, Lord. And God, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would reveal Jesus Christ to our hearts, that we may form a new alliance with your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for the gifts that we are about to receive, that you would bless them. I pray that they would go to spread this message of forgiveness and salvation through a humble God and a powerful God who has come to defeat the evil, the darkness of this world, and the darkness in our hearts. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.